And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show broadcast way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, well, I'll tell you what, I'm sure some of y'all watched yesterday as the arraignment proceedings, if you want to call them that, the arraignment of President Donald J. Trump, which is still amazing to me that we're here. It's amazing to me that this is happening. Now, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't think there's anybody that says if the guy had murdered somebody, if he had a DUI hit and run, if he had forged his taxes for years, if there was something that was like, wow, that's bad, we'd all be going, I get it, man, this is awful. He needs to drop out of the race. What the heck? How is he president? That's not what's happening at all. It's absolutely farcical. The very idea that a DA who openly and admittedly does not want to prosecute crime and was helped into his election with money from George Soros for the sole purpose of reducing the amount of prosecution of crime. And we're sitting here looking at him trying to say to the public that he is ramping things up because no one's above the law. We don't let, you know, white collar crime go on. What? All right. So I actually have a copy. Thicker than usual. You can hear it. You can hear it. rattling the thickness over here. 16-page indictment. I have a copy of it. I've gone through it. You know what this is? This is a stack of toilet paper right here. This is awful. I mean, you read through it, and even if I were not an attorney, I could read through it and go, what? And begin to realize that what we're looking at, in case you haven't heard, here's what the charges are. 34 counts, falsifying business records in the first degree. If you're falsifying in the first degree, and it also says it in here, by the way, if you're falsifying it in the first degree under the penal law, section 175.10 in New York, then you are falsifying documents for the intent of covering up or pursuing an additional crime. What's the additional crime? We don't know. But here's where it goes. There was apparently a payment. Everybody knows this. Stormy Daniels, porn star, alleged 2006 affair with Donald Trump. Did it happen? Did it not? I don't know. Are there pictures of them together? Yeah. But the reality is Donald Trump has always denied that. Take that for what it's worth. Here's the other part of this, though. His attorney at the time, the one who handled matters for Trump's organization, one of his many attorneys, a guy named Michael Cohen, paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 in February of 2017. And then he invoiced Donald Trump for what he had done. But the invoices didn't say hush money and drafting of a non-disclosure. It was just invoicing for legal services rendered. And then every time he invoiced it and received payment, if you read the indictment, the first one is here's how it reads, made and caused a false entry in the business records of an enterprise, to wit, an invoice from Michael Cohen, dated February 14th, 2017, marked as a record of the Donald J. Trump revocable trust and kept and maintained by the Trump Organization. Huh. But then the next one, the second count, with intent to defraud and intent to commit another crime, it made a detailed ledger entry for the Donald J. Trump revocable trust. Huh. What you're looking at here? Oh, by the way, the third count was a check that was written. And the fourth count, another invoice, another check. So what you're looking at here is the single transaction, the one time it happened, when a payment was allegedly made, that apparently wasn't the crime. The crime was the fact that Donald J. Trump got invoiced by Michael Cohen, and over time, he would invoice, he would pay part. He would invoice again, he would pay the next part. And every time there was a check written, they're calling it a crime. And every time there was an invoice sent, they're calling it a crime. And every time his bookkeeper made an entry into the ledger, they call that a crime. It's the same transaction sliced up into 34 pieces. That's what it is. And you look at this and go, my God, what? How do you take something and slice it up into 34 different pieces and call that 34 counts? Well, the fact of the matter is you technically don't, unless you're Alvin Bragg. Well, Trump derangement syndrome is all over this. Story here on townhall.com. Townhall.com has a piece that basically points out the fact that what we have right now is an indictment, in his words, soaked in partisanship and so laughably bad, some political theater, that they're finding ways to elevate misdemeanor charges into felonies. And then they got around the statute of limitations by claiming that the clock stopped during the COVID pandemic, which told the statute of limitations. Give me a break. But it says the liberal media is now having their day, with some saying the quiet part out loud. It says the corporate media didn't want to see Donald Trump in jail, though, or dropping out of the GOP race, because they need this to feed their addiction to Trump. Like it points out, it says DeSantis doesn't bring the same kind of high for the media. They want Trump elevated. Some would like him to be the nominee because they think he'll be easier to beat, like Joy Behar said on The View last week. But for others, it's not so overt. They just want to ride a little bit longer. So it's not about the charges. It's about their addiction to Trump. That's such an accurate portrayal of Trump derangement syndrome. Let's do what we got to do because he gives us stuff to talk about. Really? Meanwhile, by the way, you use the court system to get there. That's just not only obnoxious, it's wrong, it's unethical, it's illegal. The very idea that we're going to take the court system and change it into an opportunity to persecute a person, you're not supposed to be persecuting people, you're supposed to be prosecuting people. Story on Red State. RedState.com, legal experts across the political spectrum are laughing at Alvin Bragg's indictment of Donald Trump. Alvin Bragg is coming off like a buffoon. Now, he's got people that believe he's a hero. Most of them don't. Even the pundits on CNN are beginning to sound a little sad about this because they recognize how hollow it is. It says that literally in the courtroom that it's being said that once the indictment was unsealed and Donald Trump was able to hear and see what the charges were, his own attorneys laughed when they read it. I mean, it's almost like a sense of relief. I guess the only downfall to those attorneys is they're not going to have near the amount of billable hours they thought they would because this thing is so hollow. Trump's attorney, Joseph Tacopino, seemed to confirm this, it says, with an answer during a press conference. He says, after the indictment, I'm sorry, I don't have that quote on here. Former director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe called it an indictment of Alvin Bragg and said that legitimate law schools will forever use this indictment to teach the concept of prosecutorial abuse of discretion. It's just another pundit from Red State called this calling this thin gruel is an insult to thin gruel. I'm just telling you, folks, we are not looking right now at true justice. What we are looking at, though, is a Manhattan DA who is, in my opinion, lying to the public. Now, Jay Towns coming on in a little while. I've not been a prosecutor. Maybe he'll have some ideas, but I suspect he's probably going to agree that this is a hollow indictment. Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, he went to the podium yesterday and he said, "We will not normalize serious criminal conduct." He normalizes serious criminal conduct as a matter of course. Y'all, look at his record. I mean, how many times, here it is, in 2022, Bragg's first year as a Manhattan district attorney, that prosecutor reduced more than half of all felonies to misdemeanors. More than half reduced to misdemeanors, except for Donald Trump, where they take misdemeanors and they create felonies. In fact, they slice them up into little pieces so they can try to pretend they have 34 different felonies. But what they really have is one thing happened. The lawyer then invoiced his client, and his client began paying the bill. And every time a new invoice came in, it was a new crime. What? Yeah, that's not real. Alvin Bragg, in his press conference, he said this in the middle of his Trump derangement syndrome seizure. He said, under New York state law, it's a felony to falsify business records with intent to defraud and intent to conceal another crime. That's exactly what this case is about, he says. 34 false statements made to cover other crimes. They're not 34 false statements. They're accurate statements of bookkeeping. I heard somebody, I think it was Alan Dershowitz last night. He made a point that I thought was so prescient. You know, Bragg's theory is this was a secret way to help the Trump campaign. Therefore, he should have reported it. So I'll be honest, the idea that it's hush money already means ain't nobody planning to report it. So there's that. You don't provide hush money and then announce you provided hush money. It doesn't work that way. But then again, it was never intended to be, you know, covered up or, announced to the world. It was always intended to be in the background, if that can ever be said to have been a thing. But then Alvin Bragg went one step further, man. Because you see that indictment, that big fat piece of paper I've got over here, that stack of paper, that stack of toilet paper I've got right here in my hands, every single one of these counts has the phrase, with intent to defraud and intent to commit another crime and aid and conceal the commission thereof. What's the other crime? What is it? He was asked during the press conference, what exactly is the other crime? You know, as a matter of, you know, due process, you're allowed to face your accuser and to know the charges that you're being brought up on, right? It's a constitutional mandate. Alvin Bragg's response to what is the other crime? Here's his response. He says, well, let me say as an initial matter that the indictment doesn't specify it because the law does not so require. Really? In my remarks, I mentioned a couple of laws, which I will highlight again now. The first is New York State election law, which makes it a crime to conspire to promote a candidacy by unlawful means. I further indicated a number of unlawful means, including additional false statements, including statements that were planned to be made to tax authorities. I also noted the federal election whatever. The very idea that he's going to stand up there with a straight face and say, well, I don't know that I'm really required to tell you. Yes, sir, actually you are. It's called a matter of public record. Once it's unsealed, you got no choice. And oh, by the way, Donald Trump has a right to know exactly what it is you believe the other crime was that he was trying to commit. All right, this Trump derangement, I'll tell you what. Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do the break right now. Finish this up a little bit when we get back. And then, oh, by the way, we'll talk to Jay Towne, former prosecutor, U.S. attorney, see what his thoughts are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Finishing, but we're heading through number one of the Triple Dipper, Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, right now they're even talking about whether there will be a gag order on the president. Now, the judge did not put a gag order in yet, all right? The judge did allow photographs in the arraignment proceedings, which are not typical that happened. The judge did say that he's going to limit cameras and things during a potential future trial. There's that. We'll see how that goes. But then the other piece of this is that the judge set the next hearing for December 5th, just weeks before the primary. Huh. Go figure. How's that work out? There's also a report right now that the judge's daughter worked for the Bidens and for Kamala Harris as an intern. Really? Okay. Right now, I got a piece on Fox News dated yesterday. Gag order on Trump would be unconstitutional, say top House Republicans. Now, I don't know the answer to this question. to me, it does seem inexplicable that the judge could eventually order a gag order, maybe during the actual proceedings, but I cannot imagine between now and then stopping somebody from going to the podium and talking about what's being said about them. I don't know. We'll see. But I want to make a note to myself to ask Jay Towne that when he comes on, what he thinks about the possibility of a potential gag order in this thing. And how would you do that, by the way? So if you're in the campaign season, he's a candidate for president again right now. Right now he is. He's one of the few who's actually declared his candidacy, and he's running for office. If he's asked a question, is he not allowed to address it? If he's in a debate and the other person wants to snidely say something, can he not respond? I mean, how would a gag order even work in this situation? Not to mention the fact that he owns a social media company. And, oh, by the way, he's a prolific communicator. I mean, the guy does not slow down. He's communicating with his fan base at 3:30 in the morning and holding speech and rallies in front of thousands. So I don't know how that would ever even work anyway. Give me a break. All right, so taking it to the top of the hour here, piece from National Review, Andrew McCarthy, who usually gives great legal commentary, in my opinion. His headline is, Bragg's indictment even fails as an indictment. He says, what a disgrace. That's how he opens it. Bragg's indictment fails to state a crime, not once, but 34 times. He said, Bragg's indictment charges 34 counts, just as we said it would, based on media reporting that clearly came from illegal leaks of grand jury information. A crime, you can be sure, that goes in the overflowing bucket of serious offenses that Bragg refuses to prosecute. But then he says the 34 counts, kind of like what I described earlier, are arrived at by taking what is a single course of conduct and absurdly slicing it into parts, each one charged as a separate felony carrying its own potential 4-year prison term. By the way, that's true. The maximum potential is 34 times 4. So we're looking at what? 136 years potential. But, you know, Trump's in his 70s. So even a 15-year sentence could be a life sentence, basically. But here's how Andrew McCarthy described the situation. He says, Trump reimbursed Michael Cohen in monthly installments during 2017 for the $130,000 paid to porn star Stormy Daniels right before the 2016 election. Okay. That, in reality, is a single transaction, Trump paying a debt back to Cohen, yet because Trump paid it in installments, and each installment includes an invoice from Cohen and a bookkeeping entry by the Trump Organization and a payment to Cohen by a check, Bragg not only charges each monthly installment separately, he subdivides the installment into other installments. Just and then voila, he makes 34 counts out of it. But you got to look at some of the other pieces of this, like not the least of which is the payments, all the records that you're being indicted for are in 2017 after the election. So they're trying to reach back to something that happened in 2016, trying to figure out how to deal with the statute of limitations. They're trying to stretch it. Hey, I know, let's charge him with when he paid an invoice. And they march those invoices forward and then try to construe the statute of limitations not being run because, you know, he paid it out over time. What the heck, man? This is the absolute worst Trump derangement syndrome prosecutorial misconduct I think I have ever seen, and it's happening on the international stage. People everywhere around the world are looking at this going, what exactly is happening in America? I thought this was the land of the free. All right, we're going to go take a break right now. We'll come back. Jay Towne's calling in. Former U.S. attorney, prosecutor. We'll get his perspective on all of it. And I'm telling you, this thing fails in a variety of ways. And I look forward to seeing Trump beat it and beat it hands down. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.